Now the first text I want you to look at is Psalm 58 and verse 11. And there we read in the 11th verse, so that a man shall say, verily there is a reward for the righteous. Now, in order that we should understand what this means, lest we try to collect a reward when it doesn't belong to us, the righteous does not mean people who are good in themselves. The righteous is the Bible name for a justified man, a man who has new life in Christ. The just shall live by faith doesn't mean the good people live by faith, but the justified man lives by faith. The man who has been made righteous in Christ, the man to whose account God has credited the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Verily there is a reward for the righteous. This reminds us of Romans 4:5, whose faith is counted unto him for righteousness. Now, no man can ever receive a reward unless he has come to God in Christ. In Hebrews 11 and verse 6 it says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now God says, I am making the rules, and I lay it down flat, and it's this way, and it's not that way. God says, he that cometh to God must believe that he is. God is not going to spend any time at all on a mind that says, well, I don't know whether there's a God or not. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. And the Hebrew word for fool is the insane man. In French, it's translated, l'insensé a dit dans son cœur, il n'y a point de Dieu. The insane man says in his heart, there is no God. Whenever I meet a man who says he's an atheist, this comes once or twice in 10 years, I say to him, now, really, I know you may not care anything about my opinion, but for curiosity's sake, let me ask you, do you want me to think that you're crazy or a liar? What? Well, I said, I have to think one of the two. I cannot think that you're honest when you say there is no God. According to the Bible, you're either crazy or a liar. If you really do not believe there's a God, you're crazy. Now, if you know there's a God and are just trying to put on a front and say, oh, I don't believe there's a God, I hope. Why, then I can understand you're a liar. And in the cases that I've met where somebody proclaims to be an atheist, it's pretty easy to break down their defenses and to cause them to say, well, there's undoubtedly something. There's a supreme being. There is a power. There is. And then you can go right on to show them what God says, that he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For if you go and say steadfastly, O God, there is a God, and I'm subject to thee, thou art the creator, and I am a creature, and I come to thee, and I want thy way. Now, says God, you mean business, and I'll be there with the answer. You mean business, and I'll be there with the answer. Now, in the second place, not only there is a reward, as Psalm 58:11 says, verily there is a reward for the righteous, but I want you to look now in Genesis 15:1 and see that the Lord himself is that reward. Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. The chapter begins, after these things the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. Now, if you put this in the context of what went before, you find a very interesting meaning to this, because this verse can be understood only by the fact that it belongs to chapter 14. It got into chapter 15 by the mistake of the man that thought, well, here's the place to make a division. What had happened was the following. Lot had lived down near Sodom, and there had been a battle of the kings, and Lot was taken prisoner. And Abraham armed several hundred of his servants and pursued them and fought and brought home Lot and his servants. Now, he brought back, verse 16 of chapter 14, he brought back all the goods, and his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also. Now the king of Sodom came out. In verse 21, the king of Sodom said to Abraham, well now, let's make a deal. The king of Sodom had been delivered, but he said to Abraham, you've taken a lot of prisoners and a lot of goods. There's gold, and there's all this, and I'll take the prisoners and you take the gold. Because if he had the men, he could make them work and he'd make more money. He would exploit them. And he wanted the slaves. But Abraham said, I've lifted up my hand to the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I won't even take a thread or a shoelace, and that I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, oh, how people are name droppers, you know. Mr. So-and-so who made him, yes, you know, I loaned him $50 when he's a boy. I helped him get his start. Oh, how many people are proud to have given somebody their start. Well, this was, Abraham said, I'm not going to put myself in a position where the king of Sodom can say, Abraham over there who's got so much, there was a battle and he took the booty and this is where he got his start. I graciously gave him all the money. And Abraham said, I won't even take a shoelace except that which the young men have eaten and the portion of the men that went with me. Let them take their portion. Now, it's well worth noticing that Abraham did not force his standards upon anybody else. Very important in the Christian life, because there are so many people in our day who want to make standards and say, well, this is the way it's going to be and everybody must do it exactly the way I do it. Abraham said, look, what I do is between me and God. What you do is between you and God. And I'm not going to make a standard and say, I won't take from a shoe latchet to anybody else and nobody else will. Abraham says, God tells me what I'm to do. Let God tell you what you're to do. There's no record of what they did. It would appear almost in the narrative that everyone walked up and took his bar of gold or his bit of silver or whatever it was. Abraham's standards were for Abraham. I am to run my life. I am not to run your life. I do not play God for you. I am not the Holy Spirit for you. I don't set up a set of standards and say, you must not do this, you must not do that. I say, for me, God tells me what I'm to do, how I'm to live, and that keeps me very sober, and I don't have any cigarette bill to pay at all. I'm kept pretty well, but this is between me and the Lord, and I do not try to impose. Somebody once said to me, they wanted me to become pastor of a very large church. This was 20 years ago, and the committee came here, and they wanted me to go, and they had a big set of rules, and I said, no, I will not become pastor of that church. Because of that constitution. They said, but you don't do these things. I said, no, but I expect to get an awful lot of people saved who may do them for 1, 2, 5, or 10 years before the leaves drop off little by little. And I don't expect to say you can't join the church until you have become as advanced as a venerable deacon. I expect people to crawl before they can walk. Now, at this moment, Abraham started up the hill and you can almost see the devil coming to him. Yeah, you're a fool. Why, you've given up all that gold and all that money, and what have you done? You've been out there and beaten 2 kings. All you had was 318 servants, and he armed these 318 servants and took them out. And when they learned that 3,000 men have been beaten by a stratagem, they're going to come back over the hill, and they're going to gobble you up in one gobble. Yeah. Now, there you are. You've given up all the money, and you've gotten yourself in a big hassle. And so what happened? Abraham had given up 2 things, and there appeared to him God in this moment and said, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, so you don't need to worry about the big army, and thine exceeding great reward, so you don't need to worry about what you gave up. God says, fear not, I am thy shield and thine exceeding great reward. And if we have God as our reward, we need not wonder at all, because there is no doubt of the fact that when we have him, we have everything. Now turn over for a moment, if you will, to the third point I want to make about reward, which is in the book of Ruth, chapter 2 and verse 12. For when Boaz came and Ruth was a dutiful daughter to Naomi, the Lord recompense thy work and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. A full reward be given to thee by the God of Israel. I don't think when he said this, he knew that he himself was going to be a part of the reward. Here's Boaz saying to Ruth, the Lord recompense thy work and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God. And God tapped Boaz on the shoulder and said, you're it. Oh, yes, and Ruth got much more. The reward God always gives exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Now turn over to Psalm 19 and verse 11. And in Psalm 19:11, there's a further thought about rewards. He's talking about the fear of the Lord, the law of the Lord, the judgments of the Lord, the commandments of the Lord, that they're sweeter than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Now, there's a beautiful thought here, that in keeping God's law, there is great reward. Well, someone says, thou shalt not steal. If you don't steal, why, somebody else gets the money. Oh, says God, when you don't steal, you get a greater reward because you have in your heart, you have me, and you have the fact that I've promised to provide for all your need according to my riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, says someone, I guess it's true. Honesty is the best policy. And I say to the man that says that, if you're only honest because it's the best policy, you're thoroughly dishonest. No man is honest until he's honest when it's the worst policy. Well, says someone, if I'm honest, I'm going to lose $1,000. Honesty is the worst policy. All right, says God, now is the moment when I want you to be honest. Lose the $1,000. I'll make it up to you some other way. Don't think that God Almighty has ever allowed a Christian to lose anything for honor and honesty's sake, that God hasn't made it up some other way. He may give you a few months of waiting, and the devil will try to nag you, just as Abraham, having left all the money behind and walking away and saying honesty was the worst policy, and some of the people that were close to him probably said, well, why did the old man have to be so narrow? Why couldn't he have taken the gold? After all, there's no such thing as tainted money. There was no doubt of the fact that there were people at that time that said, it doesn't make any difference. We'll take the money no matter where it comes from. I had a letter recently from people from the YMCA in a certain town, and they said, would you tell us whether you think we have the right to accept $20,000 from the Distillers Liquor Association for our YMCA? Well, seems sort of funny that the whiskey dealers should be giving $20,000 to a young men's Christian association. I said, as far as I'm concerned, I'd be like Abraham, and I gave them this verse and said, I won't take anything from a thread to a shoelace, lest the worldling, the unsaved man, could say this. Oh, how many times I have gone to men, whenever, in fact, I've been in Texas telling about our work, raising money for our magazines, I got an introduction from an oil man to some men in Texas. And when I went in to see them, I said, now, before I talk to you about my project, I want to talk to you about your soul. I won't even take a nickel from you until you understand that we stand in the Bible in Christ and that what we're trying to do is to exalt Him. I had one man pick up his phone and call his secretary and say, don't disturb me and cancel the engagement I have in a half an hour. And he turned around and said to me, Dr. Barnhouse, there have been 300 preachers in that chair in the last 20 years asking me for money, and you're the first man that ever spoke to me about my soul. And he gave us $10,000 for our work. I had another man who I saw reach down and press the button, and a moment later his phone rang. He said, yes, yes, I'll only be about 2 minutes. And I said, sir, it's very interesting, that button. I understand you don't want to talk about it, and I'll not take your time, but I just want you to know, if the time comes before the judgment bar of God, before God sends you to the lake of fire, you'll have to answer that you heard the gospel and had the opportunity of believing in Christ. That man was so furious. And about 2 months later, I met a man in another part of Texas. He says, what on earth did you do to make so-and-so so mad? He's telling people not to meet you, not to have a lunch for you, not to talk to you. And I said, I merely told him he was on his way to hell. He says, good for you. No, you've got to understand that in keeping of the commandments, there is great reward. Now, it may appear to be lost, but God says, I know what I'm doing. And if you walk my way, I'll see to it that you're cared for and you're provided for. Now turn over to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 12. For here, right in the midst of the Beatitudes, the Lord is talking about rewards. This is when someone says something nasty about you. This is when somebody lies about you. Someone bears false witness against you. The Bible says, blessed are you when men shall revile you, persecute you, say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For thus persecuted they the prophets which are before you. So if anybody ever lies about you for Jesus' sake, if anyone ever says, yeah, I suppose she's all right, but she's awfully religious. You know, she's a fanatic. Just say, thank you, Lord. And then just say, they haven't pulled my hair out yet, so I got a long way to be like Christ. Don't ever forget that fact. They pulled out his beard and they spat in his face. So if any of you ever think that you've been persecuted, if anybody says this, I always say to them, have they spit in your face yet?
No.
Well, we have a long way to go to be like Christ. And the nearer we get to Christ and to be like Christ, the more people will hate us. And God says, this is money in the bank in heaven. This is a deposit. They have a reward. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Now turn over to Matthew 16. And in Matthew 16, we find this further word about reward in verses 24 and 27. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Verse 27. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then shall he reward every man according to his works. Now every believer, now heaven is not your reward. Don't misunderstand. God doesn't say, now you do the best you can and I'll take you to heaven. Our readiness for heaven is Jesus Christ. Our entrance into heaven is by the blood of Christ. But what we are in heaven forever is the reward for how we live after we have believed in Christ. I was as ready for heaven when I had believed in Christ 2 seconds as when I shall have preached for 70 years if God gives me to live that long and preach. My readiness for heaven is Christ, but what I am in heaven depends entirely on how I have yielded, the percentage of my yieldedness. If God has given me a large capacity and a large ministry, it might look good on an 85% surrender basis with 15% commission for myself. And if God has given somebody else a smaller life, what they do might not appear as big as what I do, and yet they might be living 98% for the Lord and only 2% for themselves, and the Lord is going to give them a much greater reward than he gives me. That's why the last shall be first and the first shall be last. And that's why we can judge no man, and that's why at every moment we must say, Lord, just see to it that the percentage of my yieldedness to thee is high. I never come into this pulpit that I do not attempt to say, Lord God, I am absolutely nothing. Now fill me and overflow so that the overflow may bless the people. And self-denial, according to this passage, self-denial has a great reward in heaven. And lastly, I want you to look at Mark 9 and verse 41. And there we read, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say to you, he shall not lose his reward. Now these are the little things. You give something in the name of Christ. Years and years ago I learned that whenever a beggar approached me and held out his hand, brother, can you spare a dime or do this? Whenever I have helped anybody, I put my hand in my pocket and I say, I want to give you this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I had one man once pull his hand away and say, keep it. And during the time of the Great Depression, I happened to live right next door to the church during those years. The people that came and rang at the door and asked for money, there were an average in the daytime hours of one or two each hour. They came. They'd come with a most tremendous story. I'm hungry. I'm really hungry. And I'd say, all right, here, I write on this piece of paper. You go over. I've made arrangements at the drugstore. You take this over. Well, I'll tell you, what I really need is, and they would be wanting money, a lot of times they'd be wanting it for liquor. And I had one man curse me. I said, but you see, what I'm doing is in the name of Jesus Christ. And then also we had those who were blessed. Oh, thank you. I understand, and I take it in his name, and I pray. You see, anything that you do, any kindness, the cup of cold water, the cup of cold water doesn't have to be H2O. Maybe it's just being kind to some poor, unfortunate. I'll never forget a girl I had to go into an office building down in Lower Market Street, an old ramshackle, rickety place with an elevator that had been put in 1880, and it banged, and you sort of wondered whether you were going to be a statistic in an accident report. Because the building was poor, they had to pay her very little money, and she was cross-eyed and buck teeth, and her hair was screaming, and her slip was showing, and she was a pretty tragic figure. And I couldn't help thinking, I had just been reading that Hollywood had found an elevator girl that they were putting up as Miss Hollywood, and they were going to give her the gilded all of everything, and I couldn't help thinking this girl has in her the same feelings and desires and loves and struggles as does the movie queen. And I said to her, you must have a pretty hard life, up and down all day. And I began to speak to her kindly, and she said, you're the first person that's spoken a kind word to me, and I don't know how long. We had a member of this church, an old woman who's dead now, but one day this woman came to me. She was helped by the deacons during several years of her declining life. And this woman came to me and said, Dr. Barnhouse, you know, I go into the supermarket, and I go here and buy only one thing, and then I go to another supermarket and buy another thing, so that I can have the clerk speak to me, so that I can hear a human voice talking to myself. Because sometimes day after day after day, I go all day without anybody ever speaking a word to me. And I go in, and when I buy a loaf of bread, I'll buy the bread here just so the clerk will say something and I can hear his voice speaking to me. Well, you know, there are some people like that. There's some of you people that could give a cup of cold water in Christ's name. There are some of you people that could go and sit and read to an old person or a blind person. Let that person talk to you. Just let them drabble on and talk about their nothings, because they need to talk. This is giving a cup of cold water in the name of the Lord Jesus. Or whatever it may be, God will have to speak to you and show you what the cup is that you hold and what the water is that you put for. But never forget that Jesus Christ said that if you do this in His name, you shall in no wise lose your reward. So here we have this whole question of rewards across the Scripture. The Lord Himself is our reward. So the more we live for Him, the more of Him we get. That's the summary of it all. Since He has said, I am thine exceeding great reward. Now give a cup of cold water, you shall not lose your reward. You'll not lose me. You'll have more of me, more of me, more of me, more of me. Isn't this worth spending our time upon? Isn't this worth orienting our life by? Isn't this worth clutching to us His word and saying, in keeping of thy commandments there is great reward, there is a closer approach to God, a greater possession of Him. And if we do this, we shall glorify Him, and He will give us the exceeding abundant above all we ask or think.